Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tyler Hero is the hero for the Miami Heat as they roll into a 3-1 series lead, put themselves now with three different opportunities potentially to win a single game, and they will be in the NBA Finals for the first time since the Miami Heat dynasty was rolling, if you want to call it a dynasty. Miami Heat surge was happening. Eric Spoelstra back on the big stage, Pat Riley back on the big stage. They have done a good job bringing the Miami Heat back. After losing Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, their original big three. Also, NFL week three returning. We will talk with Jeff Schwartz about the NFL returning in the next segment. In hour three, we'll talk with Dr. David Chow about the craziness in LA regarding the shot into the ribs that occurred for Tyrod Taylor that punctured his lung. A pregame shot that he was receiving that is going to lead to Justin Herbert starting again in week three and has created a major storyline in the league. But we are reacting to what I believe. I just sent out this tweet, which I think kind of succinctly sums up what I believe is a major issue that's going on in the country right now. The anti-police narrative being shared by many athletes in this country right now directly connects to police officers being shot at alarming rates. Far from making America better, most athletes, leagues, and teams are making the country more dangerous and less safe for people of all races. And that's true. The shooting rate, the murder rate, it's all skyrocketed since the George Floyd protest began. And athletes who are out there issuing no comments like LeBron James did when he was directly asked about the LA police shootings and not offering up any money or not offering up any support for the LA police, it leads to an overall culture of disrespect for police officers, which leads directly to what we saw last night, two police officers being shot. And I am so sick and tired of people who don't understand the criminal justice system, who aren't lawyers, not being able to comprehend when and when charges are not brought. A jury, grand jury, in Louisville looked at all the evidence surrounding the Breonna Taylor case and did not believe that charges against the police officers, other than the one they fired, the one they brought, was justified. That's because a police officer was shot by Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who was a drug dealer, when they showed up at that house. When you shoot a police officer, you are then not able to be upset when the police fire back. That's what happened in Louisville. Okay? Those are the facts. The Attorney General of Kentucky, it shouldn't matter what the race is or the gender or the ethnicity or the religion of any attorney general, but he's black. Do you think he wants someone to be shot and killed because of their race? Of course not. He looked at all of the evidence. They presented it to a grand jury, a diverse group of Louisville citizens, and all of those people sitting and looking at all of the evidence were not willing to indict police officers. The American criminal justice system is imperfect, but it is the best criminal justice system that has ever existed in the history of the world. Disrespecting police, sharing disrespect of police as ESPN did, directly leads to police shootings skyrocketing, which is why they are up over 40% so far this year. It's why over 40 police officers have been murdered in cold blood in this country. Almost none of those police officer murders receiving a scintilla of the attention of the Breonna Taylor case. This is a national tragedy, what is going on. Far from making things worse, athletes, teams, and leagues are making things, far from making things better, athletes, teams, and leagues are making things worse The data is straightforward and clear. More people are being shot when you argue that police should be abolished. More people are being murdered when you argue that police should be abolished. And do you know who the vast majority of those people being shot and murdered are? Black people. If black lives truly matter, then police matter on a level that most simply aren't willing to acknowledge in the world of athletics. I'm fired up about it. I am speaking out, even though most people in the sports media industry will shut their mouths and not share the facts with you. I am not afraid of speaking truth to power, and that's what we're doing this morning. 877-996-6369. Who's up next? I believe we have another Outkick VIP down in Florida. Danny G, who is it?
It is Andrew.
Andrew, what you got for me?
Yeah, good morning, Clay. Piggybacking off of what you just said about speaking the truth, when you had Frank Isola on and kind of off of your opening about LeBron's no comment, when you asked Frank, you know, about that, he said it was kind of weird that LeBron had no answer considering he had a couple weeks to think about an answer. And then you kind of pressed Frank on it, and he said, well, you know, LeBron didn't want to upset anybody. Well, so Frank kind of took a no comment on his own.
Yeah.
But who is LeBron going to upset by supporting the police? I mean, backwards that is.
Amen. First of all, thanks for being a VIP. Thanks for calling in. When saying don't shoot police officers and anybody who shoots police officers should be brought to justice upsets people, that's how backwards athletics has become. Think about that. If LeBron James is worried about upsetting his followers by saying, don't shoot police officers and you deserve to go to jail and we have to catch people when they shoot police officers. And oh, by the way, here's $100,000 to support that, which is what the LA County police requested. Hey, speak out, LeBron. And he wouldn't do it. I'm putting our money where our mouth is. We're not as wealthy at Outkick as LeBron is, but Jason Whitlock and myself put forward $10,000 for the capture of the person who shot the two LA police officers on cold blood and video. We did what the LA County Sheriff asked LeBron to do. We stepped up and put our money where our mouth is and said, this is unacceptable. We need to catch the guys who did this shooting. And this is what has me so fired up, is everything is very bipolar now, right? You're either, and I've been arguing this for months and really years on this show, all police are not perfect. Humans are imperfect by nature. Demagoguing and saying abolish all police like Colin Kaepernick did leads to far more murders, far more shootings. It's like a purge situation every day, everywhere. The places where police are the least able to enforce the law are the places with the highest rates of crime in America. And when you demonize police, the murder rate and the shooting rate skyrockets all over this country in inner cities. And the people who are victims of that crime, black. There are hundreds of people in this country right now who are dead because police have been demonized and they weren't able to do their job. That's an incontrovertible fact since the summer protests began. And it's like nobody will look at the data and actually speak out about it because they're too busy spending 5 minutes on a viral video sharing their thoughts and not actually knowing any of the facts behind it. All right, we got loaded lines, I believe, 877-996-6369. You can pop them up one at a time. Dub, what you got?
We got Dan in Tennessee.
Dan, fire away.
Hey, man. I'm in Virginia now. I told Dub when he answered the phone, when your show first started out, I didn't care for you a whole lot. But I've been listening to you. You're one of the most reasonable people that I listen to. And I really like a lot of your takes, and I like you and Jason Whitlock when you guys go back and forth. And I just want to say, you know, it doesn't matter what color, race, ethnicity you are, religion you are. You're either a good person or you're a bad person.
Thank you. I agree. I mean, you know, I think judging anyone based on their race, gender, religion, ethnicity, sexuality, all those things are wrong. But I believe that every individual should have equal rights in this country and that they should be treated in a respectful fashion. And guess who that includes? The police! Who's up next?
We got Smitty in California.
Smitty in Cali, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Travis. Listening to you on 95.7 FM here in the Bay Area. I just want to say your opening monologue generated my first time ever to call your program. To describe your show in one word, it would be mom spelled upside down. Wow. Just beautiful. Your commentary about James and Kaepernick, right on, man. The media is afraid to tell the truth. You have a great radio voice. It's solid. It's deep. And right on, Clay. Really dig your show. And are you a lawyer? And what books have you done?
Yeah, thanks for the call. Wow. I need to start. That's one of the best calls we've ever gotten. I do have a great voice. I appreciate you. My mom agrees with all the comments.
That sounded like a paid caller.
I wish. I need to look. Yes, I have written several books. The most recent is Republicans Buy Sneakers 2, which you can get autographed copy of by being an Outkick VIP. Dixieland Delight, about my love for college football in the South in particular. And on Rocky Top, I was embedded years and years ago with the University of Tennessee football team for a season. But if you like this radio program, and I know many of you do, and I know a lot of you because we added a million listeners from August to September, a lot of you are moving in new, right? Our audience is exploding in a good way, and I appreciate all of you for that. A lot of you are coming to the show and just finding us. And if you like what we're doing on this radio program, you really should just go to outkick.com and start to consume a lot of the content that we're having there. I mean, look, I haven't looked at the most recent numbers for the past couple of days, but we were on track for approaching 15 million readers at outkick.com in September, which will be a new record. And all of this, our radio program, our podcast, basically our worldview is encompassed in Outkick, and what we are First Amendment absolutists. And so that's why we open up phone lines, which almost no national shows do, and allow people to weigh in. By the way, are you guys, I'll let Dub kind of get those lines, 877-996-6369. LeBron James no commenting in response to the L.A. County Sheriff's request that he donate money to help catch the people. You guys live in L.A., Danny G. That's crazy. Is it as crazy to you as it is to me that LeBron issued a no comment to that question?
Well, he was put in sort of an awkward position by that money being asked of him. So that I'm not so sure on. But him not saying anything, you know, Mookie Betts came out.
Yeah, to his credit. And yeah, the Dodgers did.
And I'm glad I stood up for Betts after the opening day of Major League Baseball, because there were quite a few Twitter profiles arguing on my page because I had a picture of him up. And they're like, this guy makes so many millions of dollars. He shouldn't kneel. He shouldn't say anything. And I'm like, just because you have millions of dollars doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. And also, I think he proves that you can have an opinion, put your money where your mouth is, and then also support police, because he said, I'm angered and disappointed by the ambush of the two LA deputies in Compton. My prayers are with both deputies. Hashtag justice for all.
Yeah.
At the same time, he puts money into the communities that he's a part of, including where you're from. So he does do the work off the field, and he also asks for the best out of the police. So he's on both.
Which is what everybody should right. want. That's what and I've he, said on this show on for both months. Sides. You can simultaneously right. be in favor of justice for all and also believe that most police are doing a great job and that we need to protect their lives too. I'm anti-death, as I have said on this show for a long time. I wish none of us ever died. Right? I wish I was immortal. I would love to live for hundreds of years. I really would. Some people might not want to live for hundreds of years. I would love to. I love my life. I love waking up every day and getting to experience something new. I genuinely do. I think I have the best job in America. But I am incredibly troubled by this polarization, by this idea that if you're upset with what happened in the Breonna Taylor case, that you believe all police should be abolished. We've created a world where destruction, and I keep harping on this, destruction is easier than construction. It's a lot harder to build up a justice system that works for all than it is to just be angry and try to tear things down. And it seems like we are in a part of our culture now in American society where people get mad at something and they just tear it down. And it's not an adult response. It's not the way that adults should deal with challenges. For the old analogy, it's like, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Oh, the police upset me for something. Well, they shouldn't exist anymore. You know, really? That's the response? And ESPN, again, to me, is making it a lot worse by using a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who frankly has never, in my experience, ever said anything intelligent. Have you ever watched Colin Kaepernick be interviewed in any kind of significant way or watched him speak in any significant way and thought, my goodness, this guy said something really compelling or interesting or thought-provoking? I mean, Jason Whitlock calls him Muhammad Ali because he never speaks out. And we had Armando Salguero on a while back, for those of you who listen to the program regularly, and point out that when Colin Kaepernick's actually been pushed on his political beliefs, most of them are illogical. Like, he praised Cuba and Fidel Castro for what a great job they have done. Cuba is in our area, you know, within 100 miles of the United States, the poorest place almost in our hemisphere. And they have the least human rights. And the reason why they still drive around in cars from the 1950s is because they don't have any kind of capitalist economy. And they can drag anybody out of the streets and put them in prison for life if they say something that makes the leaders of Cuba uncomfortable or unhappy. And that's who Colin Kaepernick wants to point to as who America should be emulating? It's crazy, especially for many of you listening to me right now in South Florida who fled that socialism, that communism, that lack of freedom to come to America. I mean, we got people dying every single day trying to get their feet on the soil of this country. That happens every day. Every single day, people are risking their lives to be able to just stand on the earth that you are fortunate enough, many of you, to have been born in and or to have immigrated to. That's how desperate people are to get to American land, just to be able to stand on the ground that we all very often take for granted. They will die to do it. It's crazy. Let's go continue to take some more of your calls. I'll also let everybody weigh in. Eddie, you disappointed LeBron? No commented when he was asked to respond to the LA County Sheriff?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't understand the logic in, if you feel that there is injustice involving the police in a certain case, okay, that's fine if you want to speak out on it, but to not speak out as well when something happens violent to police who are just sitting in a police car and somebody walks up on them and tries to kill them, to say no comment and to not speak out on that as well, it makes no sense to me. I don't understand why that is somehow controversial to say that, really.
Why it's controversial to say, hey, don't shoot police officers.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's crazy. Roberto, you agree?
I don't really care for what LeBron has to say, so I really don't really care about it too much.
You just don't care about what LeBron has to say about anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, and even that, you even say that as a Laker fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've never really been a LeBron fan
to
begin with, so.
All right, let's take some more of your calls, and then we've got Jeff Schwartz coming, and we'll dive into a turn of the NFL for Week 3. Who's up next, Dub? And by the way, Dub, I'm assuming you do not agree with LeBron, no commenting, but we haven't asked you.
That would be a correct assumption, yes.
I mean, if you the First Amendment is alive and well in the show, but I think when you're asked to condemn the shooting of police and step up and donate money for their capture and you no comment it like LeBron James did, I'm assuming most people don't think that that is what they would do, right? Hey, Dub, do you support the execution of police officers who are doing nothing but sitting in their cars? I don't think I need to ask whether or not you agree with that, but it's crazy, LeBron no commenting. I mean, it truly is insane, particularly because he had a couple of weeks to decide what he was going to say to that question, and then he no comments. And by the way, the fact that it took a couple of weeks to be asked is a sign of how captured the NBA media is and how lacking they are in typical guts to speak truth to power. Who's up next?
We got Kim in Indiana.
Kim, what you got for me?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I want to start by saying that I appreciate you. You tell us that every day, every hour, even when you're live on Facebook, and it's very admirable. And I signed up to be a VIP while I was on hold.
Well, thank you.
because I want to support your show. And I do want to thank a previous caller for mentioning about canceling his ESPN account. I forgot I even had one, so I canceled that this morning. I totally agree with everything that you were saying this morning. LeBron saying no comment and Colin Kaepernick with his comments on Twitter is just incredibly shameful and irresponsible, not only as an athlete, but as a human being. And I think what would really help this world is for more people to speak out like you do, which is why you're getting so many new listeners and why I'm glad that I found you in August. So thank you for all that you do. I appreciate it. Oh, and one thing I wanted to mention was I was out yesterday at a local establishment, and ESPN was on. They started showing highlights of an NBA game, and the channel was changed in the establishment because they didn't want to watch even the back of the jerseys on the highlights. So they are losing business.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, NBA ratings are tanking. And I think a big reason why NBA ratings are tanking is because they have lost a connection with their audience, a huge percentage of them. You know, I talked about this, and I find it to be so fascinating. Michael Jordan, to me, represented trying to lift everyone up. This is the biggest difference to me between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. LeBron James very often is trying to tear things down. The reason why Michael Jordan worked is because he was telling you, aspire to be like me. Remember Be Like Mike, greatest commercial probably ever done, I believe, in the history of sports? You probably already, if you're my age, remember that jingle, that Gatorade commercial. I can still remember it very well. Michael Jordan was trying to lift all of us up, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. And in his reflection and image, his effort to be better, he was lifting up America. And he tried to speak to everyone. Michael Jordan would never say no comment if he were asked about the execution of two police officers in Los Angeles and whether he was willing to help going forward catch their shooters. To me, LeBron James, with his platform and many other athletes following LeBron's lead, are leading to more shootings and more deaths because they are sowing division. And social media in general is sowing division. It's creating extremism in our country, and I think you can directly connect social media's rise with anger, dissension, discord, destruction in this country also rising. It's not a coincidence. Who's up next?
We got Marcus in Birmingham.
Marcus, what you got for me?
Hey, great show, Clay. I agree with your monologue 1,000%. And what really makes me cringe is a few hours from now when a black person calls you and say, hey, Clay, you don't know how it is to be black and get killed by the police. Look, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, the inner city. The police is not our problem. It's us killing each other. I have family members, citizens, who are scared of going out the house because of the team down the street shooting them for nothing.
Yeah,
we want the police. I don't know why they're trying to abolish the police. They're rich. They got security guards, armed security guards, gated community. They're not us. They act like they're us, but they're not, and they do nothing to help us. How is Nelly on the job going to help inner city guys from getting killed? And all this propaganda, you're not saying this, but this Soros-funded stuff to ESPN, CNN, all this propaganda, you're exactly right. It gets in these uneducated people's mind, and they just do things. It fires me up too, Clay. Great show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Marcus. Look, we are all, I believe, and this is what sports is so important for. Whether you are listening to me right now and you're white, black, Asian, or Hispanic, we all have far more in common than we do different, right? And that's true whether you're a white, black, Asian, Hispanic police officer or whether you're a white, black, Asian, Hispanic sports fan, whether you're male or female. And to me, what Michael Jordan represented and what sports should represent is the idea of unifying everyone, right? The fact that we all have more in common than we do apart. And what I see happening far too often is everybody's trying to appeal to tiny little swaths of the population, a small identity. And this is why, frankly, I'm just fired up when I see things like abolish the police. And I think Marcus is speaking the truth there. The inner city residents are just like suburban residents. They don't want the police gone. They want to be able to pick up their phone and call 911 when there's danger in their neighborhood and know that police are going to respond immediately and make things safer. And that's what happens 99.99% of the time when police get called. Who's up next? I'm trying to get all your calls in before we go to Jeff Schwartz. Who's up next, Dub?
Yeah, last one here. We got Tom in St. Louis.
Tom, what you got?
Hey, Clay. Great show. Great word. As far as LeBron James, and that's not why I called, but here's a guy that spends time with Warren Buffett and doesn't want to be a basketball player but wants to be an enterprise and a franchise. And Clay, both as an attorney with a practice and as a businessman that has a show, you're a part of your local community. And whether it's money for Little League or churches or when there's a flood or fire or whatever damage, business owners are expected to jump in and pitch in without questions and be, quote, good corporate citizens. I just think his actions are reprehensible.
Thank you for the call. And I appreciate all the people who want to weigh in. One of the reasons why we open up phone lines uniquely and more so than almost anybody in national radio is because I want to allow as many people as possible to have a voice. You don't have to agree with me, right? The First Amendment is alive and well on this show, but I feel like many of you are frustrated and feel like you can't actually speak out. And that's why I think the marketplace of ideas is so important and why this show is surging is because when there is a real debate, I think it brings people together. And I don't mean a debate where somebody says something and you immediately say, oh, that's racist or sexist or homophobic or unacceptable, right? I feel like a huge percentage of you right now, when you're on Facebook or you're on social media or wherever you are, you constantly live in fear of being fired, right? I think that fear is just hanging over everybody's shoulders, whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, doesn't matter. This politically correct society that we have created has an idea that there's only certain acceptable opinions. And when we do that, and I think the tech companies have helped to create this universe, we are artificially curtailing real debate in this country and leading to an idea which has virtually no support. Colin Kaepernick arguing to abolish the police. ESPN is trying to spread it to 36 million of their sports fans. Hardly anyone wants to abolish the police. No one, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, no one wants to abolish the police. Even Joe Biden came out and said, hey, I don't want to abolish the police. There isn't a Democrat or Republican with any kind of functional brain that wants to abolish the police, except for Colin Kaepernick, and ESPN's trying to treat him like he is some sort of genius, when in reality, just about every argument he's made is bankrupt when you actually examine it on a logical basis.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Joined now by Jeff Schwartz, our NFL, one of our NFL insiders. Jeff, do you buy into my analogy that the Kansas City Chiefs right now are effectively like the New England Patriots? They know they're really good, and it's going to be hard to get them fired up to play sometimes in September and October, early in the season, and they're going to get progressively better as the season goes on. That's what I left the Chargers game thinking.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I equate them to New England quite yet, right? I mean, they haven't had the really the opportunity to prove that they can do that quite yet, right? Just turn on when they want. If you remember last year, Mahomes was hurt, then he came back and they played much better, right?
Yeah. So, well, there's no doubt when he's in the game, they're a lot better. But I just thought that whole game against the Chargers, it felt to me like they were kind of running in quicksand.
Yeah, they didn't look good. I mean, it looked like they were half asleep for most of the game. The question obviously becomes that, you know, this weekend, or really Monday night, you can't do that. Like, if you take a quarter off, you're going to lose. So I'm curious to see how they do, you know, knowing that they can't really take any possession off. But look, Kansas City, even last year, Kansas City, even the last month of the year, when they were winning a lot of games, there was a couple times when, like, they just didn't score in the second half of games. Like, they just kind of had periods last year where they did the same thing, where they just kind of looked like they were disinterested. So maybe you're right. Maybe they know when they can turn on when they need to. But this year is different, right? With only one playoff bye now in each conference, this game becomes huge importance, because if Baltimore has that tiebreaker come Monday night after the game, the Chiefs are going to have to play three playoff games, and Baltimore's going to have to play two.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it is a huge difference in terms of the getting the bye and not getting the bye. It's such a huge game. Tonight, we got the NFL Week 3 returning. It's going to be capped off with an incredible Monday night game, but the battle for part of Florida anyway, Jacksonville against Miami. How close do you think we are to seeing Tua if Miami loses this game tonight?
We're probably pretty close to seeing that, but I think it depends on how they lose this game. I actually think they do. I think Jacksonville covers this game. Actually, Gardner Minshew, if you're looking for a bet, his over prop too. I saw 265 yep. and a half for his over yards. I mean, he's going to throw for 300 yards. I mean, Miami's defense is atrocious. It just depends on what their plan is. Like, they weren't going to win this year, right? So if you look at their schedule, the schedule continues to be tough until about week 9. They play like the Jets, I think, and then they have a bye. They'll play the Jets again. So up until about week 9, they really shouldn't play Tua. There's no point in putting him in against the Patriots or the Bills. So I would wait. I'd wait as long as you can. There's no rush to get him in. You weren't going to win this year. Your job is to build up the young core you have in Miami and get ready for really next year or the year after, kind of making this push to be a playoff team. So I would personally wait till you play an easier schedule. Maybe the Jets are that team to start with. But there's no rush. I don't know if there's any call for him to play right now in Miami either.
What do you think, by the way? I know you've had injury issues many times, as everybody who plays in the NFL has. The fact that Tyrod Taylor got his lung punctured with a pain-killing shot, it appears. We're going to talk about that with Dr. Chow in the third hour. That's pretty crazy, right?
That's wild. I know that, I saw Dr. Chow tweeted about, you know, that's, he's done that procedure 50 times maybe, and it never happened to him.
Yeah.
The question I have is whether or not, you know, Tyrod Taylor can really file a grievance, right?
Yeah, I would.
If he's the starting quarterback and he loses his job basically for, I used the word malpractice yesterday and it pissed people off, but I won't use that word now. I don't know what negligence, I don't know what you would call it, but nonetheless, he's losing his job because of a doctor error, and I think he would have a good grievance because he was a starting quarterback, and it's very clear they wanted to play him as long as possible, and he's going to lose money and potential future earnings if he's out for a month and Herbert takes his job in that month. And look, I understand that they want to go back to Tyrod Taylor just because I think they have to because the owner doesn't want to get sued. But if Herbert plays well this weekend against Carolina, which is possible because they're not very good, I don't even know how you go back to Tyrod Taylor. How do you pull a guy who played well against the Chiefs, beat the Panthers, I'm just hypothetically speaking. I don't know how Taylor gets back in there. It sucks for him. He lost his job to concussion. And Cleveland wasn't playing well in Cleveland. But still, I feel bad for Tyrod. He just seems to have bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolutely crazy situation. Are you concerned about Drew Brees based on what you have seen from him? I mean, his numbers are down in terms of throwing the ball down the field. Obviously, Michael Thomas wasn't playing in the Monday night game. But are you concerned about what you've seen from the Saints offense so far?
I feel like we've seen this coming for a couple of years and just have avoided discussing because we like Drew Brees a lot. I mean, his arm strength has definitely deteriorated over the last couple of years. And, you know, Michael Thomas had, what, 180 receptions last season? I mean, like, he was the offense last year, and he is the perfect fit for what Drew Brees wants to do, kind of that short to intermediate pass. When he's gone, the offense is just going to be totally different. So I'm surprised. I think I was also in denial about Drew Brees, and the Saints are a really good football team. So I think they have to find ways to manufacture offense, kind of like the Tom Brady route the last couple of years, is that you find that short pass game, you mix in a couple shots every now and then, and you have to kind of stay on schedule to make it work. So I'm a little worried about them. I'm curious to see how they bounce back against a really good Packers team this weekend.
Can you come back for the final segment with us? I want to ask you a couple more questions if you can. All right, we'll bring Jeff Schwartz back.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, we're talking with Jeff Schwartz. Is Jeff back up with us, Danny G? Jeff, who would you say is winning the Patriot Dynasty divorce more, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady through 2 weeks?
Oh, good question. I mean, I feel like the Patriots are playing better as a team right now, just, the way the offense is functioning. I think Brady is still working through a bunch of issues in Tampa Bay, just trying to figure out how that offense should work, right? He's never really worked with those players before. You know how meticulous he is with details and structure, and I think he's having a hard time kind of finding that, right? They scored a lot of points early in the Panthers game and then kind of tailed off. I feel like Cam Newton is the offense just was working right now. I mean, they're deficient on some skill position players, but they're making ways to find it working, and they're going to continue to get better. I think that it's probably about even right now, but I think New England's really good with Cam. So I'm curious to see how they bounce back against the Raiders.
Do you think Cam, the way they are playing him right now, you played with Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers, He's healthy. They ran him a lot. He's got four rushing touchdowns, you know, but you look at the way, for instance, the hit he took at the end of the game trying to score against the Seahawks, it seems like those hits add up on him. Can they continue to use him as actively in the run game going forward as they have the first 2 weeks?
Yes, because Cam wants to do this. I mean, that's part of it that we lose here. I remember when he was here, I was talking to a former teammate of his, and I said, you know, they really have to limit his running. And he goes, look, this is what Cam is, right? Cam wants to run the football. He wants to be physical. It's part of who he is, and it makes him just a better quarterback overall when he's allowed to run. And I kind of agree with that. So I mean, this is what Cam is. This is the most efficient offense you can have with Cam. You have some quarterback runs. Obviously, on the goal line, it's a great run because when a quarterback runs the football, the running back becomes an extra blocker, right? So you pick up a blocker when the quarterback runs. So it makes a lot of sense to do that. It's an advantage for the offense. And that's their offense, right? Some cam runs, some play action pass, some drop back passes, mixing it all together and making it very tough for defenses to figure out how to defend them. So this is the best version of an offense. And so I'm for this. Look, it might end up where Cam gets hurt at some point, but he's never been hurt, Clay, actually running the football. I mean, it's been like in the pocket. He hurt his foot last year, scrambling. He doesn't get hurt very much actually running the football and run plays.
When you look at the NFL right now through 2 weeks, do you buy into the idea that injuries were up substantially and have been up substantially because of the absence of the preseason? As a guy who played 8 years in the league, what do you think occurred that is leading to these injuries? Or do you think it's just, you know, like anything else, some weeks there's just going to be a bunch of injuries and we tend to overreact to it?
Well, I think it totally has to do with the lack of a normal training camp. I know, you know, I'm curious what Doc thinks about this, but we saw this in 2011. We've actually seen, it's an interesting part, is the players keep asking for less practices, right? Less practices, less preseason games, less time in the facility. And that started with the 2011 CBA. Injuries have not gone down, right? You would imagine that if we practice less and we have less hitting in practice and less time in the facility, that would correlate with injuries going down, you know, in average careers going up. That's not happening. Injuries continue to go up, and average career is basically staying flat for the last 10 years. So there is some value to practice and to hitting and to building up those calluses via contact. And I really think that that's the problem. Now, the ACLs, look, some of those are fluke injuries. You know, it's part of the business. But some of it can be just from your quad's not strong enough right now. And maybe that's because you haven't done football activities. I don't know. But I feel bad for these guys. Look, the NFL is a star-driven league like every league. We have our quarterbacks still. But, you know, losing Bosa and Barkley, those are big losses for the league.
Yeah, there's no doubt at all. As you look, we kind of hinted at it before, but to circle back around, NFL Week 3 begins tonight. I'm with you. I think Gardner Minshew has a good game. You like the Jags to get the win tonight and Miami to fall to 0-3?
Yes, I think Jacksonville, if you look at just the way they're playing offense, and they've been a feisty team, man. The only thing I worry about saying that they're going to cover is that Ryan Tannehill is an amazing backdoor cover artist. And so I'm worried about that. But I think they win, and Gardner Minshew throws for 300 yards.
Fitzmagic may need to be in play for sure. Jeff Schwartz, have a good weekend, my man. We appreciate you getting up early with us.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.